This Israel report is brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you are based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.
It is a 7:44. I'm Howard Feldman. Joining us for the Israel Report this morning is Kanan Dior. He is a journalist and a correspondent for Chai FM. Kanan, a very, very good morning to you. I want to actually just start with this protest and this anti-Semitic incident in New York. I haven't spoken to our listeners about it at all. So if you could just bring us up to speed, what is happening?
Good morning.
Good morning.
Just yesterday, there was a protest outside a synagogue in New York where protesters, because they're not allowed to use amplification, so they have this technique in which they repeat slogans and then they chant it. And I'm painting the scene here because it's important for the intimidation factor that happened there. So there's a guy standing on the podium. He says something and then the crowd chants it back, and the message was, make Zionists, which, you know, is of course standing for Jews, make them scared and make them too afraid to gather like this. There was a Nefesh B'Nefesh gathering, the group that brings Anglo Jews to Israel, inside the synagogue, and there you had it. You had a crowd. It sounded like at least dozens of people, according to reports, it was between a few dozen and 150, chanting, make them scared. And there was this understanding, that maybe there still is, that you don't protest outside synagogues or in heavily Jewish neighborhoods, parts of the city, when you want to protest Israel. And we're seeing it erode. And all this is happening in the context of the election of the new mayor of New York, Zoran Mamdani, who's a far-left anti-Israel activist. So these all are unprecedented scenes, and if it's a one-off, then probably New York's Jewish community will be able to kind of coast through, but if this is the new reality, then that portends a lot of trouble for American Jews.
I saw that there were some links to some of the organizations from the university. That obviously must be a from Columbia. That must be a concern for New Yorkers as well.
These are not spontaneous protests, obviously. Just like in South Africa, just like everywhere, there's an infrastructure, and the infrastructure is on campus. And when you hear the recordings, and I've listened to them a few times from outside the synagogue, you can hear a lot of young female voices, actually. So these are the same people who go to the sit-ins and the occupations of campus administration offices, and they just gather now, or have gathered at least once, outside Jewish homes, Jewish institutions. By the way, in Canada, we have seen a similar effect where marches are being staged through heavily Jewish parts of Toronto, for just residential areas, not by chance. So there's an escalating intimidation aimed at Jews with the correct assessment that they are the core of the pro-Israel movement sentiment in those countries.
It's incredible because it's so frightening that, not in the sense that they say make them scared, but it is frightening that it has evolved to this, that there can be actual protests outside a synagogue through Jewish neighborhoods across North America with people chanting make them scared, and rational or seemingly rational people can still justify it and say no, it's not against the Jewish community, it's against Zionists or Israel.
That's true, but if I were to give them advice, it's not to be too complacent, because unlike in Europe, the United States has a pretty sizable Christian community. We've seen this in some parts of Europe even, where Christians rush to the defense of Jews who are under this sort of intimidation. When the authorities allow it, then the grassroots movement grow, and you get counter reactions. We've seen this in Holland, we've seen this in Hungary, and we may well see it in America if this continues. So not all is lost.
Oh, I certainly don't believe that it is. I'm trying to imagine what the point is, what that what the low point is, or when it will become something that'll transition into either defense, violence, back some form of action that is going to be even harder for authorities in those cities to deal with. And I have no doubt in my mind that if this is allowed to continue, because we've seen the escalation on that side, if it would be about Israel, but then it becomes about synagogues and shuls. It's escalating on that side, and it is going to hit a point, and that of course becomes a very real concern.
And it's not in a vacuum. There is a reason that this is happening now and hasn't happened before, and it's because of the new administration. And right now it's facing a test in this in these terms on how it will react. And this will determine to a great degree whether this will become a new reality or just a one-off.
All right. You mentioned Europe a little bit earlier. Let's talk about Europe. And you wrote an article, "Europe in Contact," in inverted commas, with anti-Israel lawfare outfit. And speaking specifically about Europol, take us through what you uncovered here.
It's a news story that carries a personal lesson for all of us, which is basically, shut up before you have something to bring to the table. What happened is like this. An activist for the Hin Rajab Foundation, which is a new outfit for hounding Israelis for alleged war crimes set up in Belgium, he boasted at a lecture in New York about his good ties with Europol, the European Union law enforcement agency, and he said, yes, we've visited their office, we're in contact with them. And then a group called NGO Monitor in Israel just submitted a query to Europol. Europol is a government agency, and it's required to answer truthfully to queries like that. And so it took a little while, but about a month later, Europol said, yes, we are in contact with these stakeholders. We take into account where they're coming from, but we're committed to international law and so forth and so on. And what was revealed is Europol opened the door and actually invited these activists into their office. Now, to understand a little bit about the Hin Rajab Foundation, it was set up by a guy called Diab Abu Jahja, and he was a Hezbollah combatant. He said, at least to the New York Times, that he left Belgium in order to enlist into the Hezbollah military in 2006 to fight with the terrorists against Israel. And there was he's famously depicted holding an AK-47 with bare arms, bulging, a very machoistic Che Guevara terrorist portrait that he had taken of himself. So this is a guy who is thoroughly identified with Islamic terrorism.
Right.
And he set up this body to hound Israelis abroad. And now Europol has opened the door. Now, what's behind this? Europol does not want this kind of PR headache. It looks terrible when a guy like that walks into your office. What probably happened is that the Hind Rajab Foundation found a sympathetic person within Europol who had a meeting with them. And instead of nurturing this relationship until it's robust enough to come out with it or actually leverage some achievements out of it, Jake Rome shot his mouth, talked about it, and now the rest of the world knows that Europol is meeting with Hind Rajab Foundation. And again, those allies that we mentioned earlier come into play, because in the European Parliament, there is a majority of pro-Israel lawmakers, and they're going to now send queries. It's already happening. And they're going to rein in that rogue person at Europol and hopefully shut down this relationship that the Hind Rajab Foundation has managed to build in the European Union. So thankfully, they're very, unfortunately, they're very passionate, our enemies, but often they're not very well calculated.
What will happen now with Europol?
Well, usually these things just dissipate and it attracts too much heat and then the relationship is abandoned. If that doesn't happen, then usually European Parliament members can submit queries and even pass resolutions if necessary, and basically create a big stink that, unless addressed, might affect funding for Europol. So
that's
we'll
see
how this
that's
shakes
where
out.
It often hurts. Mm-hmm. It's absolutely fascinating. Let's move to Israel. Netanyahu saying no Palestinian state, even if it costs the Saudi deal. Take us through this.
Netanyahu was asked on a Telegram channel, by the way, that doesn't like to give interviews to the hostile Israeli media, so he finds alternative media to give interviews to. That's a side discussion. He said he was asked this direct question that is really worrying the Israeli right. You're talking about normalization with Saudi Arabia. They want the Security Council to pass this resolution that says we need a credible path to a Palestinian state. So is that the deal? Are you going to give them a credible path to a Palestinian state for normalization? And usually Netanyahu likes to duck these questions. This time, he didn't. He said, there will be no Palestinian state. And he repeated this line, there will be no Palestinian state, a few times, no matter how the interview from the Abu Ali Telegram channel tried to present the question, repackage the question. And what's behind this is, in my estimation, is that Netanyahu realizes that Trump is a lawyer. And he's a real estate real estate mogul.
Right.
Real estate moguls rely on lawyers and legalistic contracts, is what I meant to say. And the contract said, the contract in the United Nations Security Council said, a credible path to a Palestinian state. And so if Netanyahu says there will be no Palestinian state, that still legalistically does not negate the commitment of a credible path to a Palestinian state. And so he's playing probably this narrow gap between a credible path and actual Palestinian state. And it also probably reflects Netanyahu's ideological commitment to prevent a Palestinian state. He's stated this many times before. And that's the gambit. Now we need to see if this will discourage the Saudis from actually going through, and Trump has a lot riding on the Saudis coming through, because he has a Silk Route deal with India that's supposed to cut China out of some markets. So this is a big geopolitical game, much bigger than just Israel and the Palestinians. And it remains to be seen if the incentives that Trump put in place for the Saudis will make them swallow this pill of Netanyahu saying, yeah, we're pursuing a credible path, but it's not going to happen. It's a difficult one, but it's not impossible.
Mm. I mean, the fact that they've spoken about the path Saudi seem to have shifted from a Palestinian state to a path towards it, the fact that the deal has been done around the military air force support for Saudi, surely that must indicate some form of, as you say, deals happening in the background.
Exactly. There are other incentives that Trump is putting in place, maybe out of the common realization that a Palestinian state will not be established anytime soon. So how about those F-35s, which Israel is only faintly protesting? How about some nuclear development in Saudi Arabia, which is also on the table? There's a lot of haggling going on, and Netanyahu is probably best perched to judge whether he has the leeway to allay the fears of the right-wing camp here in Israel, to say there will be no Palestinian state. And by the way, it's not only the right-wing camp. At this point, after October 7, it's near consensus that we cannot have a Palestinian state, because we saw what happened when we had a prequel to one.
Mm-hmm. That is where we do need to leave it. That was Kanan Lidor. He's a journalist for the JNS, correspondent for Chai FM, and he brought us a fascinating Israel report this morning.
That Israel report was brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you're based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.